I can see your full screen. So our next speaker will be Sebastian Petz from Paderborn University. So he will talk about the universal transformation of data-driven models to control systems. Okay, the stage is yours.
Yes, thanks a lot. And also thanks a lot for the organizers to giving me the opportunity to present my work here. And what I'm going to present is joint work with my student Katharina Bieker. Well, and it covers the not PDEs so specifically, but more the data-driven control of complex systems in general. But I will have a few examples on PDEs as well. So the approach or the motivation for what I'm going to present here is the fact that, well, many technical systems are governed by complex dynamics like aerodynamics or agent-based systems, pedestrian flows, internal body flows, and so on. And all of these systems are very complicated and challenging to numerically simulate. And in particular, if you think about now optimization or repetitive evaluations of the models, then this is quickly very, very challenging and even infeasible in many cases. So the task is, or the approach that many people take is to accelerate the evaluation using data-driven models. But the issue is that in the control setting, this data-driven modeling part is rather difficult or more challenging than in the autonomous case. It is also more data hungry and often problem specific. And this is the reason for our work and why we think that a universal approach to include controls might be useful. And before I get to this, I will give a quick introduction to the notation, basically, and then discuss in depth this universal approach and in particular also the error analysis, so that we can, if we have an error bound for the surrogate model, we can have an error bound for the associated optimization problem. All right, so what we are going to solve or want to solve is a classical optimal control problem of this form, where we have an objective functional J that depends on the system state Y of a dynamical system that is shown here as an ODE, but it may also be a semi-discretization of a PDE, or we could also use a PDE discretization, but the ODE version is simply, it's more powerful later in the error analysis. But let's keep it as it is and do as a next step also a discretization in time by introducing this time T map phi. So the task is now to minimize J again, which is constrained by this discrete time system yi plus 1 equals to phi of yi and ui. And the tasks or the problem in this task is that the evaluation of this time T map phi is the expensive part. So the evaluation of a PDE or a very high dimensional ODE. And as I said earlier, what people do is surrogate modeling. So they introduce a surrogate model, or first of all, an observed quantity Z, which might be the full system state. So Z equal to the state Y, or it might be a reduced quantity, I don't know, partial measurements or what, something else. And then we can introduce a surrogate time T map phi R that directly maps the dynamic or describes the dynamics of this reduced quantity. And how you pick the function F, which is called an observable, this significantly depends on the system and on the task that they are pursuing. So it might be the full state observation, might be partial observations, or also nonlinear functions of the space, for instance, lift or drag in a fluid flow problem. All right, and in the control case, there is a lot of work on how to do this, but there are also quite large challenges that until now have not been overcome entirely. So one is that if you want to include control entries in the surrogate model, then usually the dimension increases quite significantly. And by this also the data requirements. So you need control specific architectures in neural network, for instance, or you use state augmentation by which you increase exponentially the data requirements to collect samples of your new augmented state Y hat. And the second challenge is that the modeling may be very problem specific. So you need to exploit specific structure of your surrogate modeling technique. For instance, if you talk about the Koopman operator, which has been very popular in dynamical systems in recent years, it's an approach to find a linear operator that maps the observable function F. So you need to exploit structure of the surrogate model. or you need to modify your data. So in the previous talk, we have seen POD as a tool. And for instance, if you want to derive a POD-based model, you may need to make sure that the data has zero boundary conditions everywhere. So it's rather tedious to create modified data that satisfies these homogeneous boundary conditions. So these are quite a few challenges. And in contrast, if you want to model an autonomous system, this is significantly more advanced, I would say. So you have the Koopman operator, you have various neural network architectures, you have stochastic modeling like the Moritz-Zwanzig framework and so on, and the list goes on and on. And more importantly, there are even convergence results or even error bounds for many of these approaches. For instance, in the POD framework, there's this seminal work by Kunisch and Folkwein about error bounds. You have in the Koopman operator framework, quite a lot of papers by now that cover the error analysis. For noisy linear systems, you have error bounds and so on. So there we have a zoo of models and also quite sophisticated analysis to bound the error when we approximate our system from data. So the question is now, can we use this for control? Or more specifically, if the modeling of autonomous systems is so much more advanced, why do we not adapt our control problem to the modeling instead of the other way around? And this is something that we actually can do if we introduce a quantization of the control. And this means that instead of our control set U, which might be in this example, the interval U-min to U-max, we might take a finite set, a subset of U, for instance, just the control bounds, and pick these as our feasible controls. And what this allows us to do is to replace the right-hand side G of Y and U by a finite set of autonomous right-hand sides now indexed by U. So for each element of V, I have a specific right-hand side G. And the task in the optimization context is now at each point in time to pick the specific right-hand side that minimizes my cost functional. So I've simplified my dynamics, so to speak, but I've added complications to the control part. Why? Because we now have infinitely many switching operations. But first of all, before we get to this, let's ask ourselves, can I do this? And the answer has already been given in the 60s by Filipov and Wajewski, who said that if the reachable set corresponding to U is contained in the convex hull of the reachable sets corresponding to V, then the set of trajectories corresponding to V is dense in the set of trajectories corresponding to U, which means if I pick my set V in a good way, then I am fine. I can do all the things I could do with my original control set U as well. The problem now, and I said this briefly before, the problem is now combinatorial and it has infinitely many switches due to time continuity. And even if I take the time discrete time version, where I have now a finite set of right-hand sides phi, then I have a combinatorial problem which has m to the power of p possible inputs, where m is the number of elements in my finite set V, and p is the discretization in time. But on the plus side, I can now simply replace the right-hand side of my problem 2 by a surrogate model, or by a finite set of surrogate models for the different autonomous systems. So what I can do is I can collect data for each of these autonomous dynamics and use any off-the-shelf surrogate modeling technique for the right-hand side, because this is a set of autonomous systems. And then I have reduced the computational effort, well, depending on what I've chosen, but significantly. And the question is now, how do we solve this now combinatorial problem and guarantee optimality? And if we can do this, then we have a good and highly efficient approach to solving our original problem. And this is the scheme, so to speak. We start in the box to the top left, problem number one, which is the continuous control input full state optimization problem. We then introduce a quantization, go to the lower part where we have integer control inputs, which complicates the control system, but allows us to easily introduce surrogate models for the system dynamics. And this moves towards step three, so to speak, where we have now a surrogate model for each of the right-hand sides off the shelf. And now we are left with the task to solve this problem three. And what we are going to do is step number four. So go back to the continuous time setting again for the control, the continuous control input again by relaxation. So the solution might also be total evaluation or dynamic programming of this combinatorial problem three, but this is usually quite expensive. Or instead, we can use a convexified formulation of the problem. So what I'm doing here is nothing else but instead of writing the right-hand side as phi of z, I am taking the convex or the sum over all the phis and demand that only one of these coefficients omega can be one at this given point in time. So this is just a rewriting of the original formulation, but I can now replace the omega variable, which is either 0 or 1, by the alpha variable, which is on the interval of 0 and 1. So it's a classical relaxation technique. And this now gives me a continuous optimal control problem, so continuous in the control, with m minus 1 times p variables in comparison to dimension of u times p variables for the original problem. So depending on how you choose m and the dimension of u, or what the dimension of u is, this might be a bit different, but it's on the same order. So we have replaced our original problem with this one, which has the same cost control-wise or the same dimension control-wise, but it's now using a surrogate model. And then we can apply the relaxed solution, so the convex combination we obtain with the optimal alpha terms directly to the system, which is feasible in the control affine case. Or we can use a specific rounding technique back to integer inputs, so we get feasible solutions for this combinatorial problem three in other cases. And this is also the way we need to take if we want to discuss error analysis for this type of surrogate modeling. So the question is how to round that this really gives us optimal solutions. And what we are using is a very nice approach by Zaga, Bock, and Yee, which is called sum up rounding, and can be viewed as a rounding with memory, so to speak. So if my alpha value were 0.8, then I would round to 1 80% of the time, and I would round to 0 20% of the time, so that on average, I get my 0.8 back. And if it's time varying, I have a rounding procedure like this. The important part is that the distance between my relaxed variable alpha and my integer variable omega is bounded by, well, the number, the control dimension, as well as the time step. So if I switch arbitrarily fast, this error can be bounded or can converge to zero. All right, and this now is the first step for the error analysis, because this allows us to prove that, or not us, this was in the original paper by Zaga, Bock, and Diehl, that for each trajectory U, or control trajectory U from the original control set, and the corresponding trajectory of the dynamics Y, there exists a discrete control from the finite set V that allows us to get arbitrarily close to the original trajectory. So we have here these error terms that I'm not going to specify any further, but well, depending on how we choose V and how we choose the time discretization, this can be made arbitrarily small. And as a corollary, we can prove that, well, if we have an optimal solution of problem one, then we can find a discrete time control input from the set V that gives us an arbitrarily close solution in terms of the objective function value. So it's near optimal with respect to the objective function. Okay, and now we have related these continuous input and discrete input control problems. And now there's this final step from the full system state side to the reduced order model side. And here is the point where we need to make a big assumption, but I hope that I could motivate this in the beginning, that this can be done for quite a few models. So what we are going to assume is that we can bound the error for the time t map of our surrogate model. So what this equation says is that basically the observation f of our full system can be approximated by our reduced model phi r of z, and we have a bound for this. This might be a function of the state, or it might also be a constant, for instance. And as I said, we have this for quite a few models nowadays, and I'm confident that more error bounds will appear in the upcoming future because so many people are working on this. Okay, but to make this more specific, what we now get is a recursive type of of error bound that we can sum up. And if we now make a few assumptions, for instance, the observation F is the identity. So we model the full state of the system with our surrogate model. And the error bound is a constant epsilon times delta T. Then we get this exponential increase of the error that you're used to seeing when you work with dynamical systems and you have incorrect right-hand side, so to speak. So you have exponentially fast deviation, but you can still bound the error, right? And this now allows us not only to bound the error in the optimal control problem between the continuous input and the discrete input levels, but also between the full model and the surrogate model. And due to the triangle inequality, this is simply an addition of the errors that we had earlier. So what we get in the end is this, the sum of errors. The first two entries are what we had due to the sum up rounding. And the last part is due to the surrogate modeling error. And as I said before, if we pick V and the time discretization appropriately, then we can remove the first two parts and just are just left with the modeling error. Well, and now we can still close the loop. We have another sum up rounding component on the surrogate model side, so to speak, but nothing mathematically, nothing new changes. I just get another error term to go back to problem four so that I have this entire loop. And now this allows me to really prove an error bound for my original continuous input optimal control problem using a finite set of autonomous surrogate models. And depending on additional structure in the problem, so linear observable functions, for instance, or control affine dynamics, the specifics are not so important here, but I get different and yet sharper error bounds if I have more structure in my system. So in the end, this is again the scheme that we had in the beginning. We go from problem one to two via quantization, to three via off-the-shelf surrogate modeling, and to four by relaxation so that we have a numerically, let's say, from the cost perspective, equivalent problem to problem one. And we can bound the error depending on what we know about the system, rather coarsely or quite sharp. So this is it. Let's get to a few examples. I will start with a very simple ODE example because this allows us to really visualize things. And then I have a few more. So we take the Duffing equation. And this is already the so-called surrogate model because I've already added an error term to the second equation, this epsilon, that I can manually tune so that I really can check what's going on with the error bound. So I pick specific constants for the coefficients and set this error term to 10 to the minus 4 so that I can calculate, in this case, analytically, in a recursive manner, the actual error or the error bound between the full system where this epsilon is zero and the surrogate modeling with the specific value for epsilon. And this is what it looks like if I think about control now. So the black solution, the solid and dashed lines are the optimal control solution for the Duffing equation when I stabilize the original ODE to the origin. And the blue and red curves are the optimal control solutions that I obtain when I use this surrogate model with the epsilon. And we see that we are quite close. There's a constant offset, which is due to the constant offset, so the biased error in the right-hand side. But still, we are quite close. And what's more important, these cones that you see in blue and red are now the error bounds that we can prove. First, the red one is the rather coarse one with no further assumptions, and the blue one is an error bound for a control affine system. So this is really, I would say, for at least the first 0.2, 0.3 seconds, this is a rather nice error bound. And this now allows us to use this in model predictive control, for instance, where we do not need to look too far in the future and prove error estimates for systems of this kind. Okay. And now we have applied this to a large bunch of systems to show just how, well, I said that this would be universal, or my understanding of universal in this setting. We have applied this, for instance, to the Lorentz system, to the Burgers PDE, to the Navier-Stokes equations, to a delay differential equation using various surrogate modeling techniques like LSTM neural networks or reservoir computers, proper orthogonal decomposition. And all the time we just took off-the-shelf state-of-the-art implementations for autonomous systems and used our trick of quantization and then surrogate modeling of the autonomous systems using data and then controlling the systems. And well, this image is rather busy, but the intention is to demonstrate that we can use this for many systems and many surrogate modeling techniques rather efficiently. And to go into a bit more detail in one example, this is the Mackey-Glass delay differential equation. It could be also be transformed to a PDE, but I've used the delay formulation here. And we use a reservoir computer as surrogate modeling. And as you may know, in reservoir computing, the training is just a simple regression problem of the output layer. And if I now to take three autonomous systems, I just need to solve three different regression problems for the three output layers. So my control problem, or the modeling of a control surrogate model, is replaced by simply three regression problems for the three autonomous systems and the output layers though. And I can now use this to optimally stabilize the constant one function of the system. And you see that this works rather nicely and very efficiently. Okay, and the final example before I finish, in the Lorentz system, this is to emphasize the importance of control affine modeling. So if I take a control affine input, then using the continuous control input that I simply get if I use my relaxed variable is rather suited, as well as the sum up rounding to rounding to minus 50 or plus 50 in this case. And it's a blue bar because the switching goes so fast. But in the non-affine case, I make a rather large error by this relaxed version, which mathematically is also not guaranteed. But using the sum up rounding, this approach even works for really complex systems with non-affine control inputs, and we still can use off-the-shelf techniques. Okay, and this already brings me to the end of my presentation. We have also published code on this. If you're interested, feel free to check it out. And otherwise, I'm happy to take questions.
Hey, thanks, Sebastian. Very nice talk. So is there any questions? Yeah, Mario? Yeah. Can you unmute yourself?
Oh, this was just nice talk.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you are pausing, okay? is there any other questions from the audience? Seems not the case. Okay, so I think that's the end of today's